Brett just prayed and asked God to change us, and that is indeed the title of this series that we're going through. It's called Changed. And today, the title of today's message is Changed. You smell that? It's kind of a funny question for a message title in church, right? And it's a question that can invoke different responses from different smells, and you can tell what type of smell it is by the way you ask that question, right? Like when I got up this morning, and again, it's home food potluck day, you know, and I'm glad that you're here and you can enjoy some home food with us, and that we've asked people to prepare food from our background or our heritage or our home city or just something that reminds us of home. And if you didn't bring anything today, that's okay, because I've just been in the kitchen with my son trying to keep him from crying, and man, there's a lot of great food back there. So you stay with us and enjoy lunch with us today. We would love for you to stay. Everyone, you smell that. When I got up this morning and there was a crock pot full of a beautiful venison roast that had been smothered in barbecue sauce, had been cooking all night long, I'm just telling you, it's like, you smell that? That's deer. And it was good. Right? Then there's the other side of that spectrum, right? If you've ever been hanging out with somebody and there's little children in the room that wear diapers, and particularly little children that have begun eating solid food, and then you just get that, nobody wants to say it, but finally somebody does. You smell that? Right? Different fragrances evoke a different way to ask that question. And today, you know, with our home food potluck, and yes, I'm going to be talking about this home food potluck pretty much throughout this message. And the goal is to make you hungry, because again, there's lots of food back there, okay? But stay with me, all right? Stay with me in this room. Don't think too much about what's in that kitchen. But as all of us were preparing dishes this week, this weekend, you know, for me, as I got out last night, the Jimmy Dean breakfast sauces that I imported from the United States that my parents froze, and, you know, they brought up here on a plane for me, and the customs agents were like, I'm sorry, you're declaring what? Jimmy Dean sausage. You don't have it here. Never heard of it. Well, you should. But as I defrosted that and began to brown it this morning in the pan, and man, just that aroma hit my nose, and it was like, it was home, right? And all of us, whether it's Jimmy Dean sausage and biscuits and sausage gravy with biscuits, or whether it's potluck cooked, whether it's crockpot cooked venison, whatever it is, if it's jerk chicken or whatever it is, that when we were preparing those things, it just, boy, that aroma brought something back, didn't it? And in your mind, maybe you thought, you smell that? Like, that's my grandmother's house. You smell that? That's the community I grew up in. You smell that? Well, today, as we talk about this series on Changed, we're asking that question. We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, as always, we'll have it up on the screen. But 2 Corinthians, we're going to be in chapter 2. Verses 14 to 17 is where we're going to focus our time today. And in starting this, it was a letter that this guy named Paul had, that God had inspired him to write to this church at a place called Corinth, to the Corinthians, okay? The second letter that he wrote to them. If you read the first part of this letter, this chapter 1 and into the first part of chapter 2, it sounds kind of like a, in some ways, fairly depressing. Like he begins talking about the God of comfort. That's not depressing. That's a good thing. But then he talks about, man, he's had this trouble in Asia. He's had oppression. He's come under, it's just been hard. The ministry that he's been undertaking to take Jesus to those that don't yet know him, it's been tough, and he's encountered some hard circumstances. And he leads up all the way to verse 14 in chapter 2, and here's where we start to find the hope. Okay, we begin with hope, and that God is comfort, and that when things get hard, God can comfort us, and he gives us those hard times, and he comforts us in those hard times, so that when others experience hard times, we can in turn help comfort them. Paul talks about how it's been tough, and the circumstances have not been easy, but then he finally gets to verse 14, and he says, okay, all this stuff's been happening, But thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and spreads through us in every place the scent of knowing him. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some we are a scent of death leading to death, but to others a scent of life leading to life. And who is competent for this? For we are not like the many who make a trade in God's message for profit. But as those with sincerity, we speak in Christ, as from God and before God. Here's the hope, okay? Paul says, all right, all these things I've encountered persecution, he's actually been through shipwrecks, he's been through all kinds of stuff in his ministry. But he says, thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ. And another way to translate that, instead of put on display, some have translated that as he leads us in triumphal procession. Okay? What he's trying to say here is that even though the mission might be hard, like Paul's mission is hard, you know, there are places in the world where it's physically difficult to be a Christian these days, to be a follower of Jesus, right? Because you've got people that could arrest you and say, deny Christ or you lose your life. And people are actually losing their lives. In 2015, people are losing their lives. That's so foreign to us here. But it's happening. Things get hard. Okay? That's not to say that it's the easiest ministry here. Now, I'm not trying to compare here to ISIS. Okay? Don't hear that. But we live in a place that is very nice. We live in a place that is very friendly. We live in a place that is, for the most part, pretty affluent, especially in our communities around us, right? It's not the easiest thing in the world to go and take the gospel to places like this and feel like you're making a huge impact. Because for the most part, God seems to be like an afterthought or maybe even a nice thought, but not really something that's important to me or something that really... Is it going to make a difference in my life? I don't know that he will. In fact, yesterday, Rachel and Theron and I we took some holidays last week and we went to Oregon and we were actually flying back from Portland yesterday, and you know, I saw we were checking in at the Air Canada check-in desk, getting our tickets to try to board this flight, and it was a crazy day, but I noticed that right behind the ticket counter there was a little magazine publication. And it said, "Does God exist?" for the title. And then do you know what it read under that? If he did, would he make a difference? Or if he did, would it make a difference? I think Portland, very similar to our context, is that, you know, it's not that people don't like God or anything else, but it just seems like maybe he's just not on their radar. And there's a difference in the hardness that's in places like where ISIS is happening. There's a toughness also where we live. It's tough circumstances. It doesn't maybe feel all the time like we're making the biggest impact in the world. There's not people coming to know Jesus every day that we live, right, like we would hope. But in the midst of that, even though it's kind of tough, we can know that God leads us in triumphal procession. He puts us on display in Christ. That means that even though circumstances are tough all over the world in different ways, it means that he's already declared victory within us. It means that even though it's tough, we can carry on. Okay? And he is having an impact in us. We may not be able to see it. We may never see it. I pray to God we do see some. But he's having an impact down within us. Okay? Now, let's keep going. Thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and spreads through us in every place the scent of knowing him. So there's something that needs to have happened with us. You see, at some point, we were kind of neutral, okay? And I'll say neutral, like really it was pretty much, it was the smell of death, but it was neutral, right? It's like, okay, anybody here ever smelled bacon frying? You ever smelled that smell? Okay, a few, good. Yeah, I know you have, okay. A few of us have smelled that, right? Or whatever it is, but you know, bacon in the package is neutral, right? It smells like plastic. Doesn't smell like anything. But then you open that plastic and you begin to smell it. And then you put that bacon in the frying pan, you really begin to smell it, right? All about the aroma, okay? And again, it's the idea. Before something changes within us, we're just kind of neutral. Like, okay, we could be nice people, we can be good people, but we're really neutral. We're not advancing eternal things. We don't smell like eternal things. We're neutral. But then something happens within us. We're changed and we are opened up like that package of bacon. We're opened up, and I don't want to say we're put in the frying pan, okay? That's where the illustration breaks down. Something happens within us. And Paul says in his letter that God spreads the smell of Christ all over us. Just like when you put that bacon in the frying pan in your house, or maybe it's in the restaurant, right? The little diner that you get it from. I mean, it wafts through everything, right? It envelops everything. Maybe it's not bacon that you're thinking of this morning. Maybe it's the pie that you baked. Maybe it's the dish that you made. Maybe it's the cat. I don't know what it is, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Is that when something changes in us and we choose, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way for me to be right with the Father except through you. Something changes in us, and God spreads this aroma of Jesus all over us. In fact, he spreads it over us in such a way that it lingers. And that other people are not, they don't only smell it, but it gets on them. You see, he's kind of referencing, when he says, again, that translation I referenced, that he says, he leads us in triumphal procession, he puts us on display in Christ. I think Paul is referencing back in the day, whenever these armies would be on triumphal procession, they would burn incense through the streets. And they would burn them to these deities, what we would call false gods, but you could smell incense all throughout the town where these guys are on procession. And this is the idea that Paul's trying to get across, that bacon that's in the frying pan that envelops our house, the incense that enveloped the streets and the towns where the soldiers were on display. That when God spreads the aroma of Christ over us, he makes people ask that question. You smell that? Maybe I can't put my finger on it, but I smell something. Or perhaps if they're another follower of Jesus, and you get in a room with another follower of Jesus, and you begin talking, and maybe you don't anticipate meeting another follower of Jesus, but you begin talking, and there's a conversation that always leads to the Father, right? And then you go, you smell that? That's Jesus. He spreads through us in every place the scent of knowing him. It says, for to God, we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It says, that fragrance to God is his Son. That fragrance to God is his Son that he gave to this world to die on a cross, to be risen again, to declare victory over death, and that one day will come back and establish his kingdom. That's what God smells when he smells you and me. If for today, if we can say we're followers of Jesus, that's what he smells. Okay? You with me so far? Good. I like that. Good. Even if you're not, nod. It makes me feel better. Okay? To God, we're the smell of Jesus. That's a good thing. He says here, starting in verse 16, to some, we are a scent of death leading to death, but to others, a scent of life leading to life. That's really clear. No, absolutely know exactly what that means. No problem at all, right? No. Do you know that the same smell to some people is the smell of life and to some people the smell of death? Case in point. I have a really good friend. Anybody here like the smell of coffee? You like that smell, right? Like freshly ground coffee beans or when it's that coffee pot's turned on in the morning. Like I know for some of you, like that's the nectar of life, okay? Like don't ask me questions until you see a mug in my hand. I know you, okay? Yeah, most of us, we love that smell. Even if you don't like the taste of coffee, you love that smell. I've got a friend, my best friend from seminary. His name is Morgan. He'll probably be here one day. He's moved back to Cochrane. When he's here, you ask him about it, okay? Big, tall guy, kind of not funny looking, okay, no. No, just really great, friendly guy. You know, he hates the smell of coffee, and I don't like to use that H word, but he loathes the smell of coffee. And I don't know if you're, yeah, that's the face I'm looking for. You're like, what? Who doesn't like the smell of coffee? Well, okay, if you don't like coffee, pick something else. Licorice, black licorice, yes. See, exactly. Some of us love black licorice and others can't stand the smell of it. Rachel's old boss, if he's on a plane and somebody opens up a pack of licorice as a snack on the plane, he almost physically has to move seats because he can't stand the smell of it. This is what Paul's talking about. You see, when we are changed, when we become followers of Jesus, God spreads this aroma of Christ all over us and it permeates the room around us. It should permeate the room around us. And people will get a whiff of it. And to some, it's like the smell of coffee for some of us. It's the smell of victory. It's the smell of life. It's the smell that wakes me up in the morning and I'm just thankful for it. To some, it's that smell of maybe black licorice or coffee to Morgan, the only person in the world that I know doesn't like the smell of coffee. And do you know, to the ones that it smells like death, it is absolutely repulsive. And do you know that it's not that they smell you and me, and that's what repulses them, but it's the smell of Jesus that they don't want it. They have no need for it. You know, they say that smell is the strongest sense tied to what? Memory, right? And we don't know if when people smells like they may be a Jesus follower, like smells like they go to church. We don't know what people's past experience has been. We don't know the memory that people have of church or of Christianity, of followers of Jesus. We don't know. And so what we need to remember is that when we're going along and remembering, and not just remembering, but living out the fact that, you know what, like, I hope people are asking when I walk in the room, like, you smell that? Because they smell not the fact that I didn't shower today, but they smell Jesus on me. I hope we want people asking that question. I hope we want people saying, you know what? I didn't used to like the smell. In fact, it repulsed me. It was the smell of death to me, like Paul says. And it may be just that they're not ready to receive Christ yet. They're not ready to take in that message. But it may be because they have a horrible experience. We don't know, but to some it is the smell of death. But God also says through Paul, on the other side of that, to some it is the smell of life. It is the smell of life. To you and I sitting in this room, if you're here and you say you're a we say we're followers of Jesus, to us, the aroma of Christ is the smell of life. It is the smell of life. Wakes us up in the morning. It gets us going. It is what gets us through the day sometimes. If things are hard at work or when things are hard with family or whatever it is. Or that if it's a good day, you just want to celebrate all the more. It's the smell of life to us. God says in this passage that we're looking at today, he puts the aroma of Christ, he slathers it all over us. And he says, You smell like Jesus if you belong to me. If you're my son or my daughter, if you've taken my offer to adopt you into my family, then you smell like my son. And you will have an effect on the people around you. To some, it will be death. To some, it will be life. Paul says at the very end of verse 16, and who is competent for this? He says, for we are not like the many who make a trade in God's message for profit, but as those with sincerity, we speak in Christ as from God and before God. He says, who's competent? Who is able to do this, right? Like, who's considered worthy to smell like Jesus? Who's considered worthy to be the one that says, no, you smell like death, and you smell like, to some you smell like death, to some you smell like life? Who's worthy of this? He's talking about himself, and he's talking about the crew that he's been traveling with, his partners in ministry. He says, look, guys, we want you to understand when he writes this letter that we're not like those people that pedal on the side of the road. And the word that he uses back in the day, it had developed a negative context because there were a lot of dishonest peddlers, okay? There were people that would sell wine and they would dilute it with water, okay? There were people that would, I don't want to go into some of the stuff they would do. But they would sell wine and dilute it with water. Paul says, we're not like those people that will do anything to make a dollar. We'll do anything if we can fool you once. I'm not like those people who will peddle a message that is just friendly and that's easy and that really does smell good to everybody. Do you know that the reason why it doesn't smell good to everybody is because it's truth and it's absolutely polarizing? That it doesn't smell good to some people because they have a bad memory, but to some, it doesn't smell good because they say, whoa, 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 you mean that I'm just not good enough on my own? That I need Jesus? I don't like that. Paul says, I'm not going to water down like the person that peddles wine and waters it down. I will not water down the message of Jesus. And none of us can afford to water down the message of Jesus. That it really is a choice, Southwinds. It's a choice of life or death. It really does matter that no, the people that pray to the God of Islam, to the God of Buddhism, really is not truth. That's not God that we know. It really is a difference. And the difference is life and death. Some people, that will repulse them. And some people be like, that's truth. And I recognize it as such. And my life will be changed by it. It's truth. And Paul actually answers his question. Toby, can you put up 2 Corinthians 3:5? He answers that question, who is competent? In chapter 3, verse 5, he says, not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. He's like, this message is not from us. This is not something that we dreamed up, not something that I'm coming to try to sell you. He says, our competence is from God. This message is from God. This is his truth. I will not water it down. And it's for you, and it's for me. And it can change us. Sense of smell is the strongest sense tied to memory. So I want to ask this morning, do you smell like Jesus? If you've made the choice to become a follower of him, then the answer is yes. You know, and I want to take a little bit of liberty here, and I just want to ask, how strong is that smell? Do we smell like Jesus, and how strong is that smell? We talked last week, we looked at Moses when he went away to be with God, and he beheld the glory of God. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 last week, and that when we spend that time with God, that he changes us, he changes our countenance. He not only changes our countenance in the way that we carry ourselves and the way that we hold ourselves and the way that we go about life in this world, but he literally changes the way we smell. And some of you mothers of teenage boys, and I don't want to pick on them, there's only two and they're in the back, but sometimes, I remember when I was a teenager, I know my mom was like, praise the Lord, he changes the way you smell, right? No, love these guys. I remember that. And he does. He doesn't just change our countenance. This series on change, he literally changes the way we smell. And he says, Bo, my son. Southwinds, my daughter, my church family. I've spread the aroma of Christ all over you, and I want you to go infect the world around you with this smell. Do we smell like Jesus, and how powerful, how potent is that smell? Home food potluck today. The dish that we were making, it conjured up all kinds of memories. It gave us an idea of what we're of home, I hope. Whether that's a continent away, whether it's as far, 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 far away as Newfoundland.
hope. It gave us
an idea of home. We know what that food is supposed to smell like. I know what Jimmy Dean sausage is supposed to smell like, right? I know it. If we're a follower of Jesus, we know what the smell of Christ is supposed to be. And as much as we know what it's supposed to be, God will teach us every day more and more, this is really what it smells like. And this is how you will become more like me. That when people get a whiff of us, and they say, you smell that. They ask that question, you smell that? Whether it's in their own mind, whether it's to their spouse, to their neighbor, whatever it is, you smell that? It's something different. They look different. They leave the house at the same time they leave at 10:28 every Sunday morning. That's it. You smell that? Do I smell like Jesus? How potent is that smell? This week, I want to challenge us. Maybe we'd say, God, I want to look, taste, and smell like you. I want it to be, to some, like the smell of Jimmy Dean sausages to me. Insert your own dish. To some, I want it to be that. And to some, God, I understand that it's going to be the smell of death. But God, I want them to smell you. Would we ask him this week to change us, that our hearts would be open to let him change us so that we can smell just like his son? That it would be a sweet aroma to God? He loves no one like he loves his son. It would be a sweet aroma to God. And that it would be the aroma of death to some and life to others in the world around us. As we eat this potluck today, as we go and we get our plates and we get a little taste from all around the world, I'm going to ask you, just be thinking, when you smell that food, be thinking about, God, what does your son smell like? Can people smell it on me?